This is Neil Burns from Draw the Line. You're listening to Monday Night Talk on WATD. I'm back in the saddle again, baby.
And we are back to Monday Night Talk. We want to I want to thank once again one and only Mr. Bill Carpenter, Mayor of Brockton, for joining us. He will again be joining us every 4 or 5 weeks, just to kind of bring us up to speed. That's in the long. Eventually, what I'd like to do is kind of meld where we have Mayor Carpenter, Mayor Kay, Weymouth, and
Mayor Sullivan
from Braintree, kind of get a little bit of a mayoral thing going on, kind of compare and contrast with the different communities, the large communities here on the South Shore are going through, and talk with them. And I didn't give you a proper introduction. We have Paula Harris, who is my special co-host. She was kind of sitting back for that particular segment, but you had a chance to hear her for a few moments when we were speaking with Representative O'Connell. So I wanted to welcome you to the fold, joining us as a special co-host this evening.
Thank you, Kevin. Thrilled to be here.
Anybody want to say hi to while we have you on mic for a moment?
Of course, I would like to say hi to my husband, Bill Harris.
Hello, Bill Harris. How are you? And of course, not to be denied or left out, we have joining us a good friend from the Plymouth County Register of Deeds with all kinds. He's got like an inch thick of information in front of him for a 25, 30-minute segment. Then we're going to chat with him. Mr. John Buckley, sir, how are you?
Good, Kevin. How are you? I'm happy to be here with you and Paula. And I'd like to say hello to Bill Harris, too.
Okay. He'll appreciate that.
Good to have you here. We've had chances to talk many times over the years, whether you're in a political race or you're giving out information. We had a good conversation, I'm going to say about a year and a half ago, when we talked about foreclosures. We had the Attorney General, Martha Coakley, and a couple of other realtors who were in here. I think we had a young lady who does the real estate program here on Saturdays.
Sharon McNamara,
who was here and doing kind of talking about that. So it seems as though it's been a while since we at least had a chance to talk. And I thought it was a perfect opportunity. I know it's February and we couldn't get you in earlier, but, you know, it's still, we look at today's economy, we look at what's going on, and I think the one thing that kind of resonates, we want to know how well our economy is doing. And it doesn't matter if it's, I mean, we're going to talk county as far as how Plymouth County is doing, but housing is big as to how things are going financially. And I like hearing from you because you usually have some great numbers when it comes to how things are going for foreclosures, how things are going with the registered deeds. I mean, the registered deeds is kind of the main source of funding, I believe, for the county, correct?
Yes. Well, first of all, it's great to be with you and Paula and at WATD. WATD does a great job at sharing information with people across Plymouth County and beyond. I do a monthly radio interview with Dave Skill, your news director, about the numbers. And I did a brief interview with him. It's usually about 3 minutes. At our year end, but we can talk a lot more about that on this show. We have more time.
Well, and he also, I know Dave Skill has an infinite love for you, especially when he wants to do special segments that he does. I know he does all like the library segment. He's done like a lighthouse segment and then important people of Plymouth County. And I know you and he kind of collaborate and talk.
Yeah, we've actually done one segment of remarkable residents of Plymouth County.
There you go.
We've done one segment of remarkable places in Plymouth County. And actually right now we're working on Remarkable Residents 2, the sequel.
Now, would the Remarkable Places be your bocce court, or is that off limits?
I haven't put that on there yet. But we won this year, so maybe it'll be pretty fast.
This is kind of an inside baseball.
Joe Angelo and
some of the folks
in Brockton don't like me to say that.
So let's talk a little bit, kind of take a look at 2013. When we look at how things were regarding housing in Plymouth County.
Right.
What's some of the things that you found fascinating or that you found yourself sharing on a regular basis with our listeners here at 95.9 WATD?
Well, I think the headline for our year-end report pretty much tells a lot about what happened in 13, that the Plymouth County real estate market continues to improve in 2013. It continued to improve. We said continues in our newsletter. And I think you can see that from a variety of ways. The amount of sales were up 5% over the course of the year compared to 2012. That's a good sign. We did see a significant drop in refinancing Once the Federal Reserve talked about removing some of the artificial stimulants to the marketplace and the rates bumped up a little bit, the bottom fell out of the refinancing market.
Really?
And just the rates are tremendous right now for
at least like around three, maybe.
Oh, they're higher than that, but they're in the fours. But still, compared to the 12s and up to 18s years ago.
Well, yeah, you look at the early 90s, right. Late 80s, early 90s. I mean, they were up there.
Yes, but the fact of the matter is that refinancing has dropped significantly. Matter of fact, over the course of that year, the numbers dropped in terms of mortgage volume by 16% over the course of that year, while sales were up 5%.
Wow.
So certainly the purchase money mortgages, people buying their houses, are still happening. And, in a positive way, we talked about a number of factors at the end of 13. One is the sales were up. Two is the average sale price was up, which is good. There are a lot less people underwater because of that as property values have risen. And, one of the real predatory things in our marketplace were foreclosures. And the number of foreclosure deeds over 2013 were down 51% from 2012, and the number of foreclosure notices over the course of 2013 were down 52%. So when you combine those factors, it definitely are signs for a healthier marketplace.
And a lot of those are 2013, would you not say, is a residual of some of the work that we saw done by the Attorney General's stuff? That was, I mean, there was a major lawsuit that was brought by a number of the Attorney Generals around the country in regards to predatory lending, robo-signing, stuff like that. And there was a major settlement to be able to help folks who were having issues. You know, the whole idea now is that they can't just automatically file for foreclosure. They have to work with the individual who is in trouble and try to find a way for them to get back on the right track. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, there are a number of organizations that really have been working hard over the last 5 or 6 years, if not longer, on foreclosures. Groups like NeighborWorks of the South Shore, Neighborhood Housing of the South Shore, South Shore Housing, and other groups like that have actually been out in the field trying to help people get modifications of their mortgages so they wouldn't lose their property and lose their home. The Attorney General's funded a Home Corps organization that's worked around the Commonwealth in terms of trying to help people stay in their homes. And generally, groups like Boston Capital, which is a group that's actually purchased foreclosed homes at a lower rate from lenders and basically sold them back to the owners with a lower mortgage, has helped in a smaller number, but certainly an effective way.
So do you think we're out of the woods on foreclosures?
I don't think we're out of the woods. I think we're getting better.
Okay.
Because, most of the communities in Plymouth County have not had difficulty in terms of a lot of foreclosures. Brockton, certainly the highest, and certainly one of the highest in the state, and Plymouth have had significant issues relative to foreclosures. In places like that are going to have a lot harder time coming back.
Yeah, understandable.
So when you say, how long have we seen this upswing? Did we see some of the results in 2012 and it carried over? Or did you see it somewhere earlier on in 2013 and it has continued that trend?
Yeah, I think if you look at the end of 2012 report, you would have seen some of the same percentages of drop as we have at the end of 2013. And I just think that it's been a gradual and steady improvement. The economy's gotten a little better in terms of people losing their properties over loss of employment. Who knows what the decision not to fund the unemployment insurance will be. That remains to be seen. And I just think there's been a lot more help for people out there. I think all of the really predatory loans have gone out there and by the boards. A lot of the loans that had resets at certain periods of time, there's a lot less of those that are happening.
So how does Plymouth County compare to other counties in the Commonwealth?
I think Plymouth County is about the same as you would run into in other places. I think the places that have had the most difficult time with it have been the gateway cities, and not so much cities like Quincy, but places like Lawrence and in Worcester, Brockton. And Springfield. Brockton's, unfortunately, had some of the highest census tracts in the Commonwealth, so they've really been beset by the problem. But when you look at Lynn and Haverhill and everywhere else that is considered a gateway city, I think those have been the places that have had the most difficulty. And those are the places that a recent grant was given out, again, money taken from lenders by a national settlement from the Attorney General's office, given to those communities to try to get those properties that have been foreclosed and sitting out there in the community and get melded in a lot more in a city than they do in a town, to get those out into the marketplace again and get those back into ownership.
How did the sequester that we saw, during the summer months by the federal government, did that have any effect at all on any of your numbers?
I don't know that there's a direct link to that, okay. but a lot of times in the real estate business, you'll see surveys of people's confidence in the marketplace and what's going to happen. I think the unsettled action in Washington kind of worried a lot of people when they saw that things weren't going to happen and people weren't going to get together to solve problems.
And you still see, I know from when you and I back, a couple of years ago, we had a regular conversation about your numbers and the two areas in the county of the 27 communities was Plymouth and Brockton. Are those still to the biggest areas in the county that are still having the high number of foreclosures and paperwork filed?
Historically, over the last 4 or 5 years, just about every monthly report, we include in it a listing of every one of the 27 communities, include the number of foreclosure deeds and foreclosure notices. Those have always been Brockton at the top, almost always Plymouth, the number two community. I will say, I looked at our January numbers this morning. January for us ended last Friday, and Wareham had more foreclosure deeds than Plymouth, which was kind of unusual. Though Wareham has always been one of the top three or four communities that have had difficulty.
All right. Did you have a follow-up question, Paula?
I guess any other of looking back on 2013, any other sort of surprises or anything else that you said, that's interesting?
No, I think people are starting to feel a little more confident in making a change. I mean, people, at some point, your family size shrinks, children move away, your family size grows, you have more children, and people start to look at making a move. And I think a lot of people that have been underwater, meaning their mortgages are high in the value of their property, have started seeing a little bit of daylight as the values have come up. And we're a primary source for data. Mm-hmm. We record deeds and you can see the values and all of that. There's a trade organization that publishes a real estate newspaper, the Warren Group, that publishes Beggars and Tradesmen. And they kind of massage all the numbers into more of a report. And they're basically reporting quite a bit about that trend. That there's more interest because of that.
Interesting. So we look at how 13 closed out. How is 14 gotten off the ground? Is it seem as though it's you're continuing upward trend, or is it just kind of a steady line at this moment?
As we concluded in our end of year report, that we expect 2014, based upon the increased sales, based upon the drop in foreclosures and less people being in difficulty, that we'd continue to see a positive trend. Our numbers that came in this morning for January show that continuing trend. It was a 5% increase in sales. It was 5% average over the whole year. So our headline for this month will be 2013 trends continue into 2014. And that's pretty much the way I see it. There will be a slight improvement in the marketplace in 2014.
And when do, because this is a slow time right now. You won't necessarily see any kind of an upward trend or spike probably until early spring, maybe March, April?
Yes, certainly January and February are slowest months for volume, and you can understand why. You just walk out the door tonight.
Sure.
People don't like to look at property with snow on the roof and
Well, people aren't as likely to begin the process of moving
Right.
You know, not to say that nobody buys homes and nobody makes the transactions, but it's less likely.
Right, but I do think the realtors are really pushing to prepare your houses for sale in the spring market. And many times we have an early spring in terms of better weather, and that does increase early activity. Yeah. And we're hoping for that.
What's some of the conversations that you have with realtors? I mean, on a regular basis, how has it changed from the end of 2012 through last year to even maybe right around Christmas and then the holidays, where maybe you're having a conversation with some realtors and there's kind of a little bit of an outlook for this year?
Well, I actually have a couple cable shows. I do one with PAC-TV for the southern end of the county. I do one through Brockton Cable Access.
So you distribute it. You do well.
Yeah, I get it around, yeah. And I have quite a bit, have realtors on the show talking about trends. I think one thing that's kind of fascinated me is their technology has improved incredibly, how they communicate with people and how they put things out into the marketplace. I think they do a great job at that, and I think they do a great job at helping people through the process of staging their home for sale, right, which I think is a lot different than they might have done in years ago. And I think they definitely try to price properly more effectively to market the property. I think one of the problems they're having right now that is pretty constant complaint for all the times I speak with them is the amount of inventory.
Mm.
There's a lot.
Is the housing inventory still up, or is it?
Very low, according to the realtors.
Really?
Yes. Is that partly time of year?
No, I just think there's a lot of properties that people aren't putting properties on the marketplace.
Yep.
And many times you'll have three or four people, you know, depending upon the community, depending upon the property, getting to bid wars now, which we haven't had for many years.
Well, and the common sense here is if you have, you know, you have less stock, you're going to probably have more demand, and of course, with increased demand is increased prices. So, could we see kind of a trend upward as far as what the median prices are?
Yeah, I think we'll continue to see an upward increase in the average sale price. You know, they're all different people. Different people do that analysis in different ways. We just do a statistical analysis of the average sale price and knock out the highs and the lows and try to get to it. There are people who do medium sales price, and certainly it varies by community.
Right.
You also get people that will do it by communities. Plymouth County is a very, very diverse marketplace, as you know, from Brockton to Hull to Wareham to Plumpton to Duxbury to Hingham, and you know, everything in between has different values and assets.
Yeah, we are speaking with John Buckley. He is the Plymouth County Register of Deeds, kind of talking about some of the trends that we've seen in housing, real estate, the numbers. Did you have another question?
I was going to say, how do you think, I know that FEMA has now delayed for 4 years the raising of the rates on insurance.
Flood insurance.
For a while there, talking to some realtors, that was really, especially along the coast, that was really holding up or causing deals to fall through. You think that had an impact?
No, I know. I also spoke to realtors that said deals fell apart and people were a lot less reluctant to get into purchase and sales on those properties. I think that the step back by FEMA the other day will probably be positive. I am not sure that it will heal all wounds, because people know who are within those lines, and until the lines get adjusted, I think it's going to have an effect. Of course, many of those properties are so beautiful, situated, that there'll be a lot of people that may be willing to take that risk.
I have a follow-up question, or at least a second part to that, where this is kind of just a kind of a four-year delay. Could that still cause problems for people who are selling, people who understand what's going on with that whole situation? Could that still cause a problem for somebody who might be looking to sell their home that is in that affected FEMA flood map area?
I think, you know, a realtor that's working out in that area could probably give you a more direct answer. However, I would think it'd be one of the factors that anybody would consider, just like they look at the schools, they look at shopping.
All the amenities, right?
You know, how far they have to go to the supermarket, all these kinds of things that they make it. How far they have to commute to work. I would think that would be a factor that they take a look at.
Have we any other questions that we want to ask in regards to kind of a look through anything that we haven't asked that you feel might be pertinent to this conversation that we're having?
A couple things I'd just like to share with the public. Yeah. We developed an enhanced training room at the registry. We had a training room for our employees. Over the past 6 months, we've expanded that training room, targeting specifically municipal employees. There are a lot of municipal employees that use our records for their work. The assessors have always had a direct connection with the registry. We do an annual meeting with the assessors at the registry and talk about changes that we've made to our system and upgrades and what we have for resources. But we really believe that individuals like Conservation Commission agents, Planning Board employees, everybody that would use land records would really be more efficient if they learned how to use our system in a more efficient way. So we've had probably many dozens of municipal employees come through our building in a trade room. It's the first Thursday of every month. And the month of February, this coming Thursday, will be our first month that we've opened up to real estate professionals and the general public. And, you know, space is limited, so people have to pre-register. But anybody that acquires that skill of how to go online and search land records can use it in a variety of ways. And we just think it's a great way to make our resources available to the public in a more positive way.
And now folks can, if they wanted to find out some of the information that you were talking about, but you're not one who just withholds information. I believe that folks can go on to the Register of Deeds website, and you actually publish a monthly report, correct?
Yeah, we do a monthly report.
It's uploaded.
You can go onto our website, and you can actually register to get that monthly report. We do things on our blog of informational nature. You can go on our records, click search records, and go right into our assets and whether it be plans or deeds or mortgages, or make sure your mortgage has been discharged and been recorded so you don't have that problem down the road. You can do all that online, and I suggest people do that. A couple other quick things. We got a notice in the other day from somebody. Every once in a while, these companies out there send out notices that people need copies of their deeds. And
I like
for
this part.
For a small amount of money. In this case, it was a company out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. For $83, we can get you a copy of your deed. And I just want to warn people about that. I try to do that on a regular basis, because if you send in to our the registry and ask for a copy of your deed, it's $3. If you went to our office in Plymouth at 50 Aubrey Street, in Rockland on Hingham Street, or in Brockton at the former district court on West Elm Street, you can get your copy of your deed for $1 a page. Usually it's one or two pages, and it infuriates me to no end when we get those requests in from mm-hmm. those companies, because we missed somebody that didn't realize they were getting taken advantage of.
I have to admit, John, I got one of these letters this past summer because I refinanced, and I called my attorney, and he said, no, don't do it.
Don't do it. That's great.
But when I did come down to refinance, and when I was there, I want to give a public thank you to John, because he gave Bill Harris and I a wonderful tour, and the amount of historical information and artifacts at the registry is tremendous. And you're a great tour guide in addition to being the Register of Deeds, so thank you.
Now, do you have to call in advance for the tours, or is this something that someone comes
well,
to your office?
To get an operational tour, like Paul and Bill, okay. You'd have to set that up in advance. And we've done real estate companies, we've done individuals, and I think it's important that people know what we do and that they know that a document doesn't just stop at the counter when it's recorded, or doesn't stop when they ask for a copy of the deed. It actually goes through a process that scans it, indexes it, microfilms it, and protects it forever and ever, so that disaster or not, that we have our documents protected.
Well, we want to thank you. Anything you want to say in closing, any information that we want to make sure we give out?
A couple other things. I advise people to go on our website and look at homestead information.
Okay.
And I just want to make one little pitch for the month.
Please do.
In our notable record collections, we do talk about a couple things every month. And on our cable show, this is President's Day in the month of February. And on our online, we have a notable land record for Samuel Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln's great-great-grandfather in Hingham. We have a copy of their deed. Actually, Hingham at the time was part of Suffolk County, but we have a notable land record collection of about 82 documents that tell a little story about our documents and history of Plymouth County through that. We're going to put one up soon. A lot of people don't realize that Benjamin Franklin's other great-great-grandfather lived in Saquish, had a house in Saquish for many years, lived there for 4 years before he went west. And the people of Saquish, which is a very rustic place, as people know, consider that Lincoln's very strong character was molded in Saquish. And we have a notable land record of Grover Cleveland. Grover Cleveland owned land in Plymouth. He used to hunt and fish down at in Plymouth. And just in closing, I know you're giving me the eye here on the time.
No, no. You still got another minute or two.
As this month also celebrates Valentine's Day, there have been a lot of blogs going out and around about one of the earliest romances in the colonies. And in the town of Duxbury,
interesting,
there is a home that was the house of John and Priscilla Mullins. Originally, they came over together in the Mayflower. They were the early colonists.
Yep.
And a great poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, The Courtship of Miles Standish. And that certainly is something to take a look at for Valentine's Day. And a lot of people remember it in school, but it's always nice to revisit. But one of the earliest romances in the American colonies, in addition to Pocahontas and John Smith, was John and Priscilla Mullins.
He is quite the historian.
I know, absolutely.
I like, history is best told in a story. We like to.
Yeah, and history doesn't change either.
No, that's true. It's something that's, well, it's not supposed to.
It's not supposed to, unless somebody gets their fingers in there, unbeknownst to anybody else. Well, so we want to thank you very much for joining us. We'll definitely have to have you back in sometime soon to revisit whether it's this or.
Yeah, we'll do a 6 month review. How's that?
6 month review, and maybe we steal you from Dave Skill and do something historical on our own. I'm just kidding. But we thank you very, very much, Mr. Buckley, okay, for joining us.
Okay.
We will step aside, and right, when we come back, we will speak with Mr. John Chapman. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Monday Night Talk.